In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy Friday, crew.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Brett Molina. I cover tech. And my favorite Nicolas Cage line of all time is, I want to take his face off.
I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer. And my favorite Cage quote is, put the bunny back in the box.
Is it Con Air?
Con Air.
Oh, it's a gem.
It is a gem.
I'm Kelly Lawler, TV critic, and I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. That's not my favorite Nicolas Cage quote. I'm just going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
I like that. I like
Sweet.
That. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, wouldn't it be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show? By doing that, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a bonus, we'll give you a very special shout out on our next episode. For example, a review from GootyMan1963. Apologies in advance if I mispronounced your name. Hello, folks. Love the podcast. And it is always interesting to hear another take on nerdy things. However, I would love if the podcast came in around 45 minutes or even an hour and was twice a week. There's so many nerdy things to hear and speak about that a 25-minute podcast once a week hardly seems sufficient regardless. Can't wait to hear today's podcast. Thank you so very much. We greatly appreciate it.
And we are taking it under advisement.
Absolutely.
Last week was 45 minutes.
And hey, by the way, tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward. It's all up to you guys. We really appreciate the feedback. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. We also use email, mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, we are talking about the one, the only. Previous generations had Orson Welles. We have Nicolas Cage, the man, the myth, the legend. He has another movie out in theaters this weekend. We thought it was a great excuse to do a tribute episode to an action icon who never slows down. First, let's talk a little bit about Mandy.
I need you to get me that girl I saw. Do you know what?
You're a special one, Mandy. I, too, am a special one. Let us be so very special together.
So what you gonna do with that thing?
I'm going hunting.
So what you hunting?
It's crazy evil!
That was from Mandy, a fantasy action thriller that is in theaters and on digital platforms such as iTunes and Vudu Friday. The film is set in 1983 and stars Cage as a lumberjack named Red. Wow.
Yeah,
Red lives in
totally.
Red lives in the wilderness of the Pacific Northwest with Mandy, played by Andrea Riseborough. Their idyllic sweet little life is torn apart when a murderous cult leader, played by Linus Roach, brutally kills her, sending Red on a violent, drug-fueled odyssey of vengeance. Boy. Oh, boy. It's pretty
good. You don't even know. You don't even know.
Brian, you have seen the film. You described it as super metal.
It is
which
super
sounds...
It is the most metal movie probably I've ever seen.
Okay, mini review, Brian. What'd you think?
It was great. I mean, I don't know if it's for everybody.
I assume there are a lot of axe deaths in this movie.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. It's like, when I talked to Nicolas Cage, I described it as a Homeric Odyssey. And he was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'd say. That's the worst like Nick Cage impression. But he was very impressed by me calling it a Homeric
It's like
Odyssey.
Nick Cage is sitting in the room recording with us. It's really wonderful. No.
Hello, Mr. Cage.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's what it is. I mean, kind of like something happens bad to the love of his life. He has like this nervous breakdown, and then he's gotta go on this quest of vengeance to get rid of these, you know, this cult there's aliens and monsters, but you don't know who's really an alien or monster because he's like taking this weird supernatural drug that like blows his mind open. Part of the movie is like animated and like really metal. And so you don't really know what's kind of like real and what's not, because you kind of get in his drugged out mind and he goes on this killing spree. He like forges this battle axe from like the future and just goes to town on people. He like gets a chainsaw and like goes up against this other guy whose chainsaw is really, really long, like a bigger chainsaw. It's totally insane, but yet it is the most probably Nick Cage movie there is.
Wow.
Because it is just like, it is like, instead of Nick Cage being put in like insane position, it's like insane position kind of rising to the level of Nick Cage.
That's incredible. Wow.
It is incredible. It is not for everybody because it's like super violent and it's really kind of weird and dark. And he's like out of his mind, literally. If you like Nick Cage stuff, Nick Cage fans are like a niche people who like adore everything he does. This is their movie, and you can find your community with this movie.
Well, let's talk about Nick Cage himself, because, yeah, he has adopted a cult following over his career. What is it about him? We'll start with Kelly. What is it about Nicolas Cage that you think is the reason why people love him so much?
I think there's a lot to it, and his sort of whole persona has developed into something that attracts these people. But if I was going to say what's most important to that persona, I would say it's a combination of the voice, which sounds not much like what Brian just did earlier, and like the face smolder. He's got like a very interesting face. It's not a classic Hollywood leading man face. And so I think he, as a result, is like really good at facial expressions more than a lot of other actors. And when he started his career, that meant he was a really good dramatic actor. Remember, this man is Oscar nominated. As his career has morphed towards Mandy time, he has just used it to be more and more ridiculous. And so it's like when you hear him, you see him instantly.
Now, real quick, Nicolas Cage, did he win for leaving
yeah,
Las Vegas?
Won.
Oh, he won. Excuse me.
No,
Oscar-winning star of Mandy.
Get it right.
Nicolas Cage.
One thing that I've always found fascinating with Nicolas Cage is the fact that he treats every role like it's Hamlet, even though it's something like, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence, or I'm going to be in a movie where I swap faces with somebody and do that for like 90 minutes.
Or you're going to go on a drug-fueled supernatural journey to avenge your loved one.
But it's like every movie he seems to take on, he takes it on with this super kind of gravitas to it that it doesn't necessarily need, but that's also why it's great, because you have that juxtaposed with whatever the movie is, and it's just wonderful.
Well, he's being himself. And I think he embraces being himself in a place where, like, you know, people aren't themselves. He is a wildly eccentric guy, but because he owns it, there is an authenticity there that I think is attractive to watch than somebody who's faux eccentric. But like, that dude is off in like the greatest way possible.
And I think, you know, you probably heard the term like a paycheck movie, like a great actor does some like dumb movie just to get a paycheck. And you think about actors who you kind of see pop up in a lot of those movies, and like Robert De Niro is someone who jumps out at me. And Robert De Niro's there for a paycheck, you can tell. Bad Grandpa, or whatever that was called. Oh, yeah. Or Dirty Grandpa. Bad Grandpa was the Jackass one. Excuse me. Gotta get my...
gotta get your grandpa movies
straight.
Gotta
get my grandpa movies straight. That was... He wasn't enjoying himself, and he wasn't trying in that movie. What you're saying is, like, no matter what Nicolas Cage does, he's never just there for the paycheck, even if maybe he actually is. Maybe he did a movie not because he thought it was the best movie ever, but he's going to act like it's the best movie ever. And I think that's so pure. You know, we live in a very fake world, and there's something very pure about someone who never gives less than 100%. And I feels
really
no shame about it.
120%. You know, he makes like two or three VOD movies a year, this being kind of one of them. That's like his niche now. I mean, he's gone through a bunch of niches. I mean, kind of, there was like the Peggy Sue Got Married, Moonstruck,
Raising Arizona.
It could happen
Raising
to
Arizona.
You.
Yeah. There was like the more usual actor stuff. Hey, I'm a great actor. And then like he became Jerry Bruckheimer's favorite guy in the 90s. And there was The Rock and Con Air and Gone in 60 Seconds. And then John Woo kind of borrowed him for Face Off. That was like the best Cage stuff of all time. Because it was just like throwing him in like insane situations. And he wasn't like the most insane person in the insane situations, which I think he gave it a groundedness. Whereas now he's flipped a little bit more eccentric. The titles kind of reflect that a little bit. He has his own niche and kind of owns it in a cool way.
Yeah, it's like you were saying, he grounded movies in the past. I think it's totally opposite now. Like he can take a grounded movie and turn it up just by being there.
And make it watchable. You know, he's in that USS Indianapolis movie, which is about, it's about a ship that sinks and then everybody has to deal with a bunch of sharks.
Sure.
Exactly. And it's just like, that would be a boring ass movie if anybody else is playing it. You put Nick Cage in it, I want to see it now.
And we forget, too, he had a run in the 90s where he was probably the biggest
star in the world.
Biggest action star of everybody.
Yeah, because you had Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s, and you had Chuck Norris and Sylvester Stallone kind of gave way to Jean-Claude Van Damme. But by the time Nick Cage was kind of having his run, we wanted a smarter action hero. Mm-hmm.
And he had just come off Leaving Las Vegas, and then that's when the run started with Face Off and Con Air and Gone in 60 Seconds and all that stuff. But yeah, he was I don't want to say he was our Rock because they're both very different actors, but he's also one of the most interesting action stars because all the other ones, it's all about physical presence, and he's kind of a strange dude. And so it's just interesting that he's been positioned at that time. He was positioned as one of these big action stars along those same lines.
Well, he pulled it off well. You know, you put him in Gone in 60 Seconds. You know, you look at him and you're like, that dude probably knows how to like steal some cars and drive really fast. Or in The Rock, where it's just like, okay, that dude looked pretty smart. He can probably like deal with some macho soldiers and deal with this kind of like escaped convict and figure out how to save the day and not get San Francisco blown up.
So is there anything at this point that Nicolas Cage could do to wreck his career? Or is he pretty much set at this point?
You mean aside from the criminal and sexual harassment?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hopefully, don't be a perv, Nick Cage. Please don't be a perv.
Basically, like career-wise.
No, I mean, I don't think so because he has already done things that you would say, oh, like you can just write him off. He's nothing now, but he remains relevant.
Well, he makes VOD cool. I think a lot of movies, you know, need to find an audience. You know, they can find an audience on iTunes and VOD and things like that. And he embraces that. He'll go do some kind of weird little action film that's kind of low budget, but can find an audience in different ways. I mean, maybe everybody's not going to go to Mandy in the theater, but like that movie's going to have such cult status on VOD because everybody's going to want to get it and share it around with their friends, create drinking games out of it. The VOD stuff is still such a redheaded stepchild of Hollywood, but that's one way to get people to watch your movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we broke this down in two parts. We have a favorite Nicolas Cage movie and one that's the most essential. If someone has never heard of Nicolas Cage before, what movie are you going to show them? My pick happens to fall in both categories, which is Face Off, which is from 1997. It stars him and John Travolta. It's from John Woo. The concept is Nicolas Cage's character is a terrorist and John Travolta's character is an FBI agent at the beginning. There's a plane crash that happens. Nicolas Cage ends up in a coma. The FBI decides we need to infiltrate his gang because they have set up a bomb in the LA Convention Center. And so we need to defuse it. And we don't know how. So they find this institute that does this cutting edge surgery where they can swap faces. So they swap faces.
Sure.
Yeah, totally. They swap faces. And this is John Travolta, who is now Nicolas Cage's way of going undercover and finding this bomb.
That's a layered performance. He is playing John Travolta playing Nicolas Cage.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. And I feel like Face Off is the quintessential Nicolas Cage movie because you get, if you're talking about the expressions and the way he acts, you get everything because you get bat crazy Nicolas Cage. You get Nicolas Cage kind of on drugs and high. And there's a scene midway through. It's the classic scene where he's with the crew of bad guys and they ask him, what does he want to do to the FBI guy once he catches them? And he's sitting back in his chair completely like high and he's like, I want to take his face off. You know that it's John Travolta the whole time. So it makes total sense. And everyone thinks he's just whacked out of his mind. And It's an incredible scene, and you get every facial expression from Nick Cage, everything. It's beautiful. It's classic Nicolas Cage. I love everything about it. John Travolta is excellent in the movie, too.
I mean, he'd have to be. He's working under Nicolas Cage's face.
Exactly. There you go.
Even Paycheck. Paycheck is like a totally underrated action film.
Yeah, and fantastic action films. It's all about Nicolas Cage. He's wonderful in the entire movie. There's also a funny scene where John Travolta's character, played by Nicolas Cage, finds out that the terrorist guy got out and has burned all the evidence of who they are. So they're kind of Freaky Friday now, but nobody knows about it. And so there's a scene where he's choking John Travolta and he's saying die, but he says it in this weird shriek that I remember from the theater because everybody was laughing because it sounded really ridiculous. But he could tell Nicolas Cage was all the way into the scene and was trying to be serious and angry and emotional. And I feel like Face Off is the movie where if you have never seen a Nicolas Cage film, that will tell you in the first half hour whether you love Nicolas Cage or not.
Nice.
Straight up. Kelly, what's your pick? Let's start with favorite movies before we get to the essential stuff.
For my favorite movie, my pick is one of the greatest movies of all time. It is National Treasure. You may not know this about me, but I am low-key obsessed with National Treasure. I have seen it maybe 10 times. It is such a good movie in both like the best and worst ways possible. It has everything you need. First of all, it has Nicolas Cage, subject of this podcast.
Yes.
It has a literal real-life treasure hunt across the East Coast. It has Sean Bean as the villain. Sean Bean with blonde hair, mind you. Uh-huh. It has a bunch of cool scenes shot on location in Philadelphia and New York. And I used to live in Philly, and so at the time, that was such a really cool part of it. It has awkward, chemistryless romance between Nicolas Cage and Diane Kruger.
Oh, so for those who haven't seen National Treasure yet, what is the premise of the movie?
The premise of the movie is that the Founding Fathers put a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence to hide a Templar Freemason treasure during the Revolutionary War.
That is incredible.
And the only man who can find it is Nicolas Cage.
Hence the line, we're going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
But he steals it to prevent Sean Bean from stealing it and then, like, you know, ruining it. He steals it so that they can take very good care of it and also find his treasure. And it's like Indiana Jones in the U.S. for kids.
He's actually subdued, too.
He is subdued. He's a dork.
Yeah, totally.
His whole family was treasure hunters, and they were all super into history.
Like, disgraced because, like, yeah. His grandfather was, like, everybody thought he was a fruitcake.
Yeah. And it's like there are these scenes where he tries to go and warn the FBI that someone's going to steal the Declaration of Independence. And he's like, because there's a treasure map on the back. And they're like, well, we've seen it, and there isn't. And he's like, oh, it's invisible.
See why Nicolas Cage is so great.
Yeah, and then there are fight scenes, there are chases, there are gunfights. He jumps off of a ship at one point. There's stuff in the Arctic. Justin Bartha is the hammy sidekick. So it's like heist movie, adventure movie, all in one. I love it. It is infinitely rewatchable. You never regret watching National Treasure.
And another Bruckheimer joint. Bruckheimer and Cage. That's money.
Yep.
Every time.
Yeah. Brian, your pick.
So my favorite Nicolas Cage movie is actually my second favorite movie of all time, which is The Rock. It's not the most essential Nick Cage movie because, again, you know, Nick Cage is kind of grounded, kind of weird, dorky scientist guy paired up with Sean Connery, who is the only person who's ever escaped Alcatraz. So then they've got to, like, team up to go deal with these terrorist mercenaries who want to use this kind of, like, bioweapon against San Francisco. So much good stuff. But I think what makes it kind of cool is Cage and Connery, like, together and how they kind of work off each other. There's a lot of Cage against somebody or Cage working with somebody. It kind of levels everything up because you get to see more. He gets to do a lot more with the character and bouncing off of other people. They get the Cage bump to a certain degree. So I love that film so much. The central Nick Cage movie is actually a double feature. It's Face Off with Con Air because Con Air is just, it's magical.
It really is.
It is just a magical movie because he's a dad who got not wrongfully in prison because he kind of killed a guy, but he didn't mean to. So he's never really seen his daughter because it happened when his wife was pregnant. And so he's going home. He's on parole. So he's just trying to get home to see his daughter. But he gets on a plane that's hijacked by crazy John Malkovich, Ving Rhames is in there. Steve Buscemi is like this child killer predator person who like comes on board like it's Hannibal Lecter mask. Insane. You know, so he has to like figure out how to stop the hijackers, but also get home, help out FBI agent John Cusack. There's a plane wreck in Las Vegas. So there's some Elvis stuff, which Nick Cage loves Elvis. It's just wonderful.
It's also responsible for one of the best gifts ever, which is Nicolas Cage stepping off the bus in shackles. And he's outside for the first time, and it's a slow-mo of his hair blowing in the wind.
I love that joke.
As he's smiling and enjoying the sun.
It's the long hair, full beard look of Cage.
Yes. And The Rock is also responsible for one of the greatest quotes in cinema, which is, "How in the name of Zeus's butthole did you get out of your cell?" Which I think is...
It's wonderful.
I think that's top five all time, honestly. So, Kelly, essential Nicolas Cage movie. If you had to pick one film for someone to introduce them to Nicolas Cage, what is your pick?
So I veered a little bit also because I haven't seen some of the early 90s stuff.
Have you not seen the early 90s stuff? You were like a kid then.
Sure. I was a kid and not an infant.
Gather around. Let's watch Con Air. That's perfect family entertainment.
But that stuff you meant to watch because it's great.
I should. I really should. And I was just
thinking. Hey, kids, who wants to watch Face Off?
Con Air kids.
So I went with Gone in 60 Seconds because... Hey, I love that movie. I think it's a lot of fun. When it came out, it was such a thing. Everyone was obsessed with Gone in 60 Seconds when it came out.
Opening day, I was there.
And I also think it's kind of the transition movie between his 90s phase and when he starts getting weirder in the 2000s. Like, he has some serious movies afterwards. He's got The Family Man, which is like him going back to being Oscar bait for some weird reason. And, you know, Adaptation. But then he gets into National Treasure, then The Wicker Man, and then Ghost Rider comes around. And then all of a sudden he's in Kick-Ass and everything is crazy from there. So I think it represents a time when they thought he could be a sexual icon because his love interest is Angelina Jolie. And a time when we realized, no, that's not really his thing.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Okay. What's our best career advice for Nicolas Cage? I'm shocked that he has not shown up in a Fast and the Furious movie at some point. That feels like a franchise that is made for him as a villain, something. He feels like he'd be perfect in those movies. I am really surprised we haven't seen him yet.
Get him a weird wig.
Yeah.
And an accent, maybe, and make him a Fast and the Furious villain.
Joining some franchise does seem like it would be the best thing to do because I think Fast and Furious would be great. I think he could do like a Michael Douglas or Anthony Hopkins kind of role in a Marvel movie where like it's like the Oscar winner who like makes everything kind of cool about a Marvel movie. And he loves comic books. So it makes sense. He actually is. He's played Spider-Man Noir in the Into the Spider-Verse cartoon coming up.
So cool.
Maybe that's it. But I think just having him in like a Marvel movie kind of cool because everything is so over the top in Marvel movies anywhere. And again, he would probably come in as like a grounded aspect of it. I think you could fit him in a cool way. Have him keep doing his Mandy's and kind of like his weird stuff, but just like a one-off franchise film would be great.
Kelly, if Nicolas Cage was in the room right now, which he was actually 30 minutes ago, if you had any career advice, what would you give him?
I don't know why you guys are talking about putting him in the Marvel and Fast and Furious franchises because he already has a franchise of its own and it's called National Treasure. Where is National Treasure 3? Where is National Treasure 4? Where is number 5? That is what I want to know.
I'm going to steal the Hope Diamond.
Yes!
I'm going to steal the Titanic.
He's going to drag it up from the sea.
That's a total Nicolas Cage movie, though.
Nick Cage could totally do that.
He could. National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets was not great. I mean, it was great in that it was more of the same with him. It was not great in that the script was not nearly as good, and it was, like, really ridiculous. But, I mean, if we're going to make another Indiana Jones movie, come on. We can make another National Treasure movie.
I would think so, yes, absolutely.
Or Nicolas Cage as Indiana Jones.
Are there, okay, outside National Treasure, are there other movies that lend themselves to a sequel? Gone in 120 seconds? I don't know. Is there something?
Gone in 280 characters?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of what makes him special, though, is that we never had a Con Air 2.
Yeah.
Because we never had something to bastardize the original. And I think that's why The Rock is great, because it's just, it's a single story. Con Air. Gone in 60 seconds rather than gone in 120 seconds. Gone in 60 seconds of The Rock were the best things that ever happened.
I'm looking at his IMDb page, and I don't really see a lot of candidates for sequels or franchises.
Unless
he's
going to
be in the Croods 2.
Back to the Rock, maybe something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm all in on a National Treasure franchise. It's so happy and positive, and everyone is happy at the end.
And there's so many artifacts to steal and to
so
take
much
creative license with.
And there's so much learning of fake history.
It's wonderful.
It's so good. I'm gonna go watch it tonight.
Leaning on the maybe he gets like a smaller role in a Marvel movie. Is there a character, whether it's Marvel or DC, that feels like, oh yeah, this is Nick Cage? It would totally be Nick Cage.
Superman.
But he was Superman. He voiced Superman in the Teen Titans movie.
That's so meta.
It is.
And he named his son Kal-El too, so.
This is true. Who also had played Bruce Wayne in the Teen Titans movie.
What?
What?
What? Like, have him play like some weird Roxxon CEO in like the Avengers movie. Or like Secret Invasion, have him play Norman Osborn. If they do the Secret Invasion angle in the Marvel movies, have him play Norman Osborn.
So he'd be Green Goblin.
Yeah.
He'd actually be a pretty good Green Goblin.
I know. I just love that. Now that I came up with that, I want to see that now.
Wow.
Who do we know at Marvel? Let's start calling people.
Yeah, let's start making a phone call.
Kevin Feige follows me on Twitter, so I'm going to DM right now.
Call Nicolas Cage back and just be like, hey, you want to play Green Goblin?
You know he would do that in a second.
Yeah, ask around.
The great thing about it, because like, he'd be like Green Goblin in the form of Norman Osborn, because he'd be like fucking nuts, like business guy. Like, years ago, he was like Green Goblin, but now he's just like crazy-ass business guy. It would be great.
Or he could be the Howard Hughes type where he's totally afraid of leaving his house or something like that. You know, that kind of thing.
Or you go with the Dark Reign thing from after Secret Invasion, where like Norman Osborn saves everything and becomes Iron Patriot. Put Nick Cage in the motion capture pajama and have him being like an Iron Patriot suit. That would be awesome. Make it happen, Marvel.
Why aren't we development executives, guys? Why not?
I know. Exactly. Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. What's your favorite Nicolas Cage movie? Do you love or hate Nicolas Cage? And are you going to see Mandy this weekend? And if Brian's description didn't help you, then I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. But let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at I Love Nicolas Cage. No, I'm really. I'm at Brian Drew.
And I'm at K-Laws. K-L-A-W-L-S.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. We're going to wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots/producers of the Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, you can leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find the podcast, and we always greatly appreciate your feedback. We love it. Thank you so much. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much any app you have that plays podcasts, you will find us. Until next Friday, thanks for joining us. Nerds out.
Later.
Steal the Declaration. Do it.